Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That is our number. Amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. I don't know if today's theme's going to be fear. That seems to be overriding so many things. So many decisions that people are making, and it just seems very odd to me. Because it's like reacting in the opposite of what the data is. And I don't mean the current data. I mean the historic data. I mean, I don't mean that we're resolving the problems, that Washington, D.C. isn't run by a bunch of absolutely nutty people with terrible policies that are really hurting the economy. That's a fact. Clearly, GDP is slowing down. But it's growing. But we're seeing it. We feel it. It's palpable that people are fearful. There's so much of it out there. We talk about it all the time, right? You get online and there it is. Some guy who nobody's ever heard of predicted the last market collapse of some kind. Now says we're in for a really ugly October. Well, how'd that go? It was the best month in months. Wasn't supposed to happen. The Wall Street firms all told you that they were expecting a correction before the end of the year. I mean, it was Goldman Sachs. It was JP Morgan. It was all of them. All of them coming out. Telling you that they expected a correction. And right on cue, September was kind of clunky. And it just fed into it. And more, quotes, analysts, in case you weren't, since you can't see me, that's an air quote with kind of a wink. Analysts, love them. They're so accurate about everything. It's incredible. And I don't just mean to put them down when they're wrong. They're like always wrong. The other day I can't remember what it was. So I was listening to the podcast of Fox News Sunday. It's great to have that available. You know, it's not like you have to be watching the TV. Just there it is. And El Arian is on. Now, this is the guy that ran PIMCO for a while and all these mutual funds. And they did so bad that now they give him he's an analyst job. He just talks about what the market's going to do. And he's like with Allianz or something that nobody's ever heard of, really. It's like a nothing firm. But he's always on TV. Not always, but he's on a lot. And he's never right. Now, I don't know if he checks the woke box somewhere along the line because he is an Indian. Indian. I don't know. He's never right. They just babble and babble and babble about stuff. And what is amazing to me is how often we finding this kind of stuff. It finds its way onto a website, a quote, a thing to prove why you need to go hide somewhere where we just really don't expect returns to be as good. It's just like blah, 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 blah. Market's up 20%. We don't expect returns to be as good next year. Oh, that's so insightful. Thank you, Mr. New Norm, the one that said, and I'm not joking, I think we're up like 16.2% per year compounded the last 10 years. Mr. New Norm and his buddy Bill with PIMCO, the bond king, came out with the new norm and told everybody to expect returns below 5% in the future. It was the new norm. And they ran their funds that way, ran them into the ground. And they did. Now, I'm not here to beat up on L. Arian. He does what he does. I have no idea, right? I mean, that's what he's really good at, is figuring out how to stay famous. That's what he's really good at. And that's terrific. But what I'm saying is that this is a commentator that is well known, quoted all the time, finds its way onto the web or wherever else that people are going to be fed fear. It's an ongoing battle for all of us to somehow think it might be okay. Because it might. It might work out. And history says that the only realism is optimism. It does say that. Over and over and over again. But human nature is that we are always figuring out what's going to go wrong, and we're really certain about it. And we continue to bury ourselves in the data that proves the end is here. And then it's not, and we go on to the next worry, and we look and look and find the data that proves us right again, that the world is ending here. Fear is such a huge driver. It's like it's all going to go away. And of course, we've got the annuity pimps that come out all the time. And it's bold-faced lies all the time. Like there's no fees. There are humongous fees. That's why anybody who is a certified financial planner, a registered investment advisor, cannot use these products because they're so expensive. They're so crummy. Nobody uses them. Warren Buffett won't touch them. You know, it's like, oh, we get a market returns with no risk. No, you don't. You can't. It doesn't make any sense. But people buy it. Why? Fear. Fear and more fear. We're naturally inclined that way, and all it takes is a little tweak and a little twist for people to go, oh, you mean a temporary, certain occur over and over again all the days of our lives market correction on the way to, again, all-time highs is what I'm supposed to freak out about, and I'm supposed to put all the weight of my investments on the idea that I've, quotes, lost money. Some kind of, like, a permanent loss. That it won't be back tomorrow, like it always has been. Always has been. That this time is it. This time, really, the Lord is coming back. You're not supposed to watch. You're not supposed to look. This time, really, the market's not going to come back. This time, it won't. It's all over economically. The dollar's going to collapse. For the 53rd time in my lifetime, the dollar's going to collapse. But this time, it's not coming back. Or it really will collapse. I mean, you know what I mean. Or we really will go to a world currency. I don't know what up. Some kind of yen, euro. We really think the Soviet Union's really amazing thing. I don't know. But it won't be the U.S. dollar. Whatever it is, whatever we make up, cash is going to go away. That just means somehow they're going to confiscate everything. All of this stuff is out there on the web all the time and selling people in fear. I don't know what the market's going to do tomorrow. But the day after it has some kind of correction, it'll be on its way back to all-time highs. Or the week, or the month, or the year. I don't know. But every time it's supposed to be over, we go back to all-time highs. Crazy Joe is in the White House and we're at all-time highs. Technology has fixed so many things in all of our lives. Everywhere you look, it's like, whoa! They can't really be doing that. Yeah, we just accept everything now. Yeah, you know, genetic research. Yesterday stuff. Yeah, no big deal that they can, like, decode your 6 billion DNA strand in 2 hours. No big deal for $200. Actually, it's $500. On its way to $200. Like, they can know if you're going to have certain diseases. Like, we're not on the edge of the curing those things? Like, the phone, computer, amazing, all that stuff in your pocket, iPhone isn't like, it's a TV, it's a movie theater, it's podcasts, all of this. Yes, but you know what it is also? It's pornography. I get it. It's good and it's bad. It's all of that. But in the end, it's technology that's driving these costs down. I know, inflation's out of control. Supply chain, we're all going to die. We're not. It's news, it's reporting, it's all the time. It's in our faces. The only realism is optimism. It's how you stay in. It's how you come to understand that Apple is up 40-fold. Okay, it had a bad day the other day. 39.5-fold. Since the iPhone came out. Not since their IPO. Not since they were nearly out of business. No, none of that. You didn't have to take this huge risk. You got to look, hold, see this beautiful thing. And go, you mean I can get the weather anywhere by pushing on a picture of the sun? I gotta have one of those. My mom couldn't even understand that. She doesn't need to have a crackberry and, okay, I'm going to text now. I'm going to go, okay, oh, wait a minute. It starts with a C, so I got to hit the 1 3 times. Oh, no. I hit it 4 times. Darn it. That's what we used to have. And then you could see that. And then everybody told you that the iPhone 4 wasn't as good as the 3. Blah, 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 blah. 10,000 reasons why you ought to get scared and get out. Maybe there's a financial collapse in 08. You should get out of your Apple. You see, in spite of all that's going on in the world, what did they do? They kept improving it. They kept adding services to it, making it more and more valuable to me and you, to the point where I just can't be anywhere without it. And I want to pay Apple every month because I love the services it has and the privacy it gives me, the protections I have. But fear would drive us out, as if Apple is not this real company. It's the market, and it's a casino. It's not. It's a company that makes profits. And when we focus our thought on whether do we think that Apple and Amazon and Google and fill in the blanks and even energy companies and all that stuff are real companies that make real products that people willingly buy, not with a gun to their head. They decide, I want an iPhone. Not, you must have an iPhone. I'm willing to pay more because I want the iPhone. Makes more money. And we mix that up with some kind of, oh, in order to sell you really high commission stuff that's not regulated appropriately, I am going to be able to scare you and you won't pay any attention to the fact that this product can't work, it won't work, and it doesn't make any sense. There is no way you get market returns and can't lose. I know that. My grandmother never got through the ninth grade. She knows that. But I'm so scared. I will buy anything that says it has a guarantee. That's where we're at. And we see it over and over again. And yet what happened in October is we rolled to all-time highs from the certainty that we were going to have a correction, which we never had. But we will tomorrow, I promise. They're coming. Corrections occur. Fear. So deadly. So time-consuming in our lives, too, don't you think? Eats us up all the time. All right, I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. There's that music. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. If you prefer email, and we will be getting to a great email here in the next hour, that's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jim. Are you there, Jim?
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. The phones are working. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, even now with the so-called new system, he's having problems.
Oh, I know. I know. I'm on the other end of them sometimes. It's just tough. It's tough.
Well, I was going to say, I used to call you up because I felt sorry for you because you didn't have any callers. Last week, I wanted to call you up to get you to shut up about the blathering on about technology. But that be, I'm open and honest. But anyway, that be as it said. Now, you're hooplying basically the medical aspect of technology, you know. Technology getting us to live longer and all this, well, that's hunky-dory. However, we'll have a bunch of old people that are not productive. Now, granted, we have a lot of people these days that aren't productive, but we've got all these people, and I'm one of them, actually. I'm not productive, but we go to doctor's appointments, we take medicines. Now, how does that work economically?
Well, first of all, you can't put everything in an economic term. I mean, you can't. Otherwise, what we would do is when people, we would not have any nursing homes. Whoa. Yeah, turn it down. We wouldn't have any nursing homes. We've just, like the Indians in the old days, right? Just walk out into the woods and kill the old people. They're not productive. That's just not who we are, Jim. But thinking that it's not good that people can't have the new 90 being the new 70 years old or the old 70 years old where they have healthy, vibrant lives engaged with grandkids, I think that is an amazing blessing. And economically, people, as long as they are productive, that's okay. It works out fine. And I mean productive in multiple ways. We have young people that aren't doing a darn thing except doing crack deals on street corners. This is always true of society. But yes, economically, you're quite right. As people come out, we spend an awful lot of money on medical care. Jim, it's more than that, though. I'll touch on it more later in the next hour. Thanks for your call. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that's our number. If you prefer email, that's great. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And we are, and the other thing I wanted to mention real quick here, though, is we're going to be doing a Zoom meeting this week. And I'm already excited about it because I know Tom Brown and Jennifer Stone have put a lot of work into this. I assume Erica's involved in it too, right? And they put a lot of work into the backdrop of it, if you will. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it because it's one of my favorite topics. It always is. And that's great investment wisdom from great investment folks that teach us to be thinking longer term than what's being yelled about right in front of us, right? Which is what this program's about. We're not about what to buy and sell. And if we mention a stock like Apple or technology as a sector, and Jim, I will come back to that as well, it's still, I'm not suggesting you own it at all. I don't know your portfolio, and it's just we're trying to learn together, right? And if anything, dial down the noise of what to buy and sell and slow it down. You know, recently, and we'll come back to this as well, it's just I have a lot in my head, and so I bounce around, right? And it's, I want to talk about how we think about an income portfolio, right? Because it's tricky in a zero interest environment. But industry-wide, there's not a lot of people doing a lot of thinking. It's pretty rote. It's just like this way we always did it, you know, 40% bonds. 40% bonds when they're at 1.5%, that won't work. Why are we talking about that? That's not an interest rate prediction. It just plain old won't work. So what are we doing? How are we working around that kind of thing, right? So we'll come back to all that stuff. But I know you didn't get like a Zoom link, and if you're not a client of ours and yada yada, but you can get it on YouTube, and those are the kind of things we talk about there. So Petso YouTube channel as well. All right, now I want to talk a little bit in this hour. I'm going to come back to fear right now, and but more in a current sense, right? And then I want to talk about an email, because that is really right in front of us. We got a lot to cover, and I want to cover your questions as well at 580-KIDO. I touched on this whole idea of fear and how it just overwhelms us. And I know nobody thinks they're fearful, especially us guys. We're not afraid of stuff. We were taught not to be. Right? Now, I understand it's a little different world, and younger people now are a little more, quotes, open with their feelings. Or older people like us, you know, we become more like women as we get older, I guess. I don't know. We get more emotional. Maybe it's our kids do that to us. I don't know. We soften. Something happens. But it's still, we still have this sense that we're not afraid. And it sometimes keeps us from acknowledging what's really true. I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I invest now, it's going to go down in value. So oftentimes, and we see this, it's okay. I mean, it's not like I can see through everything, but I've done this for 40 years. And so when times are tumultuous and a client wants to call up, let's say it's 2008, really tumultuous. You know, we're thinking it'd be a good idea to pay off the house, so we want to go ahead and sell out. No, they never thought it was a good idea to pay off the house. That's not why. They did not want to get into an argument with us about how it's a bad idea to sell when stocks are down. It's fear. And they also didn't want to argue with us about it. They just wanted to do it. And we have people that once in a while, they just call in and go, we had this client that we had kind of inherited, right, from somebody that got out of the industry, and so we're just kind of help out. Calls in, and we're like trying to walk him. No, you don't sell out. No, don't do that. Your tax rate is going to jump and all this stuff, right? I mean, people make bad decisions all the time, like selling out of an IRA and paying a mountain of taxes. I mean, this just happens all the time. But it's like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my check, and that's it. They don't want to listen. Our job is, if you will, to stand at the edge of the cliff and dance around and try to stop you from jumping off. But in the end, we can't, if that's what you insist on doing. So I get that. It's a world of that. And as we think about all of the data that comes at us all of the time and our seeming inability to walk away, to not be sucked in, to listen all the time. All the time. Well, I'm just plugged in. I just feel like I need to be knowing what's going on. Really? You couldn't know what's going on if you didn't listen all the time? You know what's going on. But it makes us more fearful, more angry, more likely to do the wrong thing at the wrong time. More likely to be drawn into stupid products. I mean, stuff that ought to be illegal, I don't know why it's not, honest to goodness, or at least have disclosures that basically would say something honest like, even though the person who, you know, like in big red numbers or letters out there, right? Even though the person may, in fact, because the laws are really bad about, you know, deceptive tactics, might actually tell you you could have market returns. You can't. You can't. They're capped at like 2%. That's it. So if the market goes up, you get 2. If the market goes down, you get 0. Oh, so you mean by definition, I'm going to get less than 2. Yeah, and your money's tied up for 10 years. And you pay a 10% commission. That's why it's tied up for 10 years. That's what ought to be in red letters, not, you don't want to be in the Wall Street casino. Or you got to buy gold because we're going to have hyperinflation. And it goes on and on. The inflation's coming. What that's going to do to the market and so on. It just goes on and on. And we understand fear sells. But we've got to go, yes, I know. And But it doesn't just say, I'm not gonna buy one of those stupid products. I'm not that far gone. Fair enough. But we hear it all the time. People are afraid to put, quotes, all of their money in. Like, in what? Something that might earn money? Well, in case there's a... there will be a correction. They're really trying to time it. And that's where we get into where we're constantly hearing the negative, what's wrong in the world? What's going on in Washington, D.C.? The Congress is trying to tax this, is trying to tax that. It's going to do this. If you breathe, it's an air tax. It just goes on and on. And next week, there'll be more. They've lost complete control. So don't react to any of it. Any of it. Wait. Wait and see. We can't react to every single thing. That's what the market's telling you, too. Corporate world is going to continue, and that's what you're buying. You're not buying that it's all going to be good. It's not. Humans are flawed, broken, busted, awful at times. Some of them are evil. But certainly, collectively, we're broken. We don't do things very often very well. That's the world. But corporations collectively working together or competing, more importantly, to be the best at something. Collaborating on the next brilliant idea. Come up with some pretty cool stuff that we like, that we buy, and we make those companies profitable. That's what you own. And I'm not sure why it's so fearful. I mean, if I was going to buy a building, am I wondering what the price is next week? Or by the hour, do I check my phone to see what the Main Street real estate ticker is doing? No, nobody does that. Only with stocks can we wonder about a company like Apple. Oh my gosh, I paid $144 and it's $138. Oh my gosh, oh no. Why we think like that, I don't know. I mean, I do and I don't. It's because it could be sold, it could be bought, and the only interest ought to be, hey, maybe we ought to buy some more. It's down. But that's not what we think. We worry about portfolio value, not the profitability of the companies that we buy. It's weird. It's completely counter. But it certainly works to scare us. And we all feel it to a degree. I think I ought to have a little bit of extra cash right now because... you know, I want to buy some when it goes down. Well, you did get that chance in September. Did you pull the trigger? No. No, you didn't. You didn't. Because everybody told you, all the analysts, everybody, all the smarty pants in the world told you we were going to have a correction before the end of the year. So why not wait? Down 5% isn't enough. It'll be down 10, maybe 20. And besides, what's going on in Washington, D.C., blah, 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 fill in the blanks. And it's overreported all the time, constant at us. Constantly. Our email is dave@petsofinancial.net. Hi, Dave. Question for you. I'm not a billionaire, but I have concerns about the billionaire's tax being floated around by Congress. First, if this passes and the billionaires are forced to sell some of their holdings, wouldn't these excess shares flood the market, causing share prices to drop? Yeah and no. They don't control the market, but yeah, it's a fair point. There will be some selling. And if enough billionaires sold stock, it could directly affect the entire market, like the IRAs and 401ks. Absolutely. Second, if this did pass, maybe the government would make out the first year, but there's no guarantee that the market or the billionaires' assets would increase year over year, which is what Congress is banking on. That's why it's a Looney Tunes idea. That would give billionaires a refund for their loss. Correct. Mike, thanks for the simplified, correct questions about the billionaire tax and why it's so stupid. It's not enough money. You can't find 1,000 people, take all of their money, and fund government. It doesn't work. Government's so big, so counterproductive, anti-productive, awful. It's like, give them a dollar, they just, oh, there's a dime left. Yet we still think if we pass a $1 trillion spending bill, that that's going to have some kind of economic positive effect. No, because you have to take that trillion from the productive private sector to give it to the destructive public sector, and you're telling me that's economically beneficial? That's insane. And yet that's what the Keynesian theory is. And it's been flouted around for years and years and years. And it still is. It's exactly what Joe and company are telling us every single day, and the complicit press tells you every single day. And yet you know logically, this is absolutely crazy. I'm going to take money from the productive private sector, give it to the destructive public sector, and that's going to be a good thing? How? How is that ever a good thing? Now, you may say, we need to spend money over here because these people we just need to give money to. Okay, but don't tell me that that's productive. It's economically destructive. The markets will take care of that, but they won't because we're kind and compassionate people and we want things to be just and fair and all that stuff. We have different definitions of fair. I would say fairness of outcome is not what I'm looking for. Fairness of opportunity is. Liberals think fairness of outcome is all that's important. I don't know how you get there because humans being humans are never going to do that. I worked harder than you, but you get the same. That doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't work. But that's the thought process. As we work our way through all of that, we say a billionaire tax. You can't. It won't work. It just won't work. It will not work. So don't worry about it. Now, I think it's kind of a... I get the whole point, but don't worry about it until we get done. And I touched on this earlier today. I don't want to run down too far, but I just don't think that we need to worry about some of the Looney Tune things they're talking about. Wealth taxes. It's just, we've already gotten away with from so many of the early trial balloons. But we just can't worry about every one of these crazy ideas. They're floundering around trying to figure out how they can raise capital. They're just floundering. Let them go. Let them figure out how they think they're going to raise or pretend to raise a certain amount of money. Then we need to deal with it. And that's also kind of what the market's telling you too, isn't it? Right? And then we've got inflation to worry about. All those things, okay? But secondly, if the government did pass it, you're absolutely right. It's really, that's why it won't pass, in my mind. It can't work. They have no way of making it work year to year, as you point out. And already, what people don't understand, and it doesn't matter how many times people say it, the billionaires aren't paying their fair share. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. In 2018, it's not going to be changed a lot since then. Okay, the top 1%, that includes the billionaires, folks. The top 1%. Of American taxpayers paid 40% of the total income taxes. Now, our tax brackets have gotten much more progressive because that's up 33% from 20 years ago. Okay, let me say it again. The top 1% pay 40% of the tax burden. The bottom 50% pay less than the top 3% of the population. The bottom 50% pay less than the top 3. That might be fair in your book. I don't know. But to tell me that the billionaires are getting away with stuff is absolutely crazy. It's just out of envy. Elon Musk has more money than me. Well, I'm not going to buy a Tesla then. Okay, don't. I think he doesn't care. He can't make enough because people want him. I don't think he did anything wrong by making something so incredible that people have to wait years to get him. But that's where we are. All envy, all the time. All woke, all the time. Let's just calm down. Mike, this is a really, really important point. I really appreciate you taking the time to email. I'm just going to wait and see where we're at. And I think you should too. Instead of worrying about this billionaire tax, it seems to be floundering. Can't find agreement. I know that the Democrats think they've got to get something done because their party is dying, splitting, imploding. And maybe they will. I just really don't know. But the ideas that they continue to be floating are horrifying and are not thought out at all. It's like we've got to hurry up and do this. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Reminds me of healthcare package, doesn't it? Right? We simply have to pass this to understand what's in it. I doubt Nancy's going to make that case this time. It is bad policy to rush something like this. And we may get something really ugly. But we are now 1 year away from throwing these folks out and moving on to better policies. And we have to remember this. Being afraid of every single thing that they do is not helping us understand the simplicity of an iPhone, a Google search, and a company making chemicals that we use in everything. Breakthrough drugs. Vaccines that take a year instead of five. All of these things are happening around us in this swirl of doom and gloom and Looney Tune power mongering politicians. I know. I've got a picture of Reagan on my wall in my office, and it is inspiring to me still today that this man was there and changed the direction of our country some 40 plus years ago. We can do it again, and we will. And that's not just being optimistic. That's history. History says we'll do that. We will. Billionaire tax or not, we're going to roll on through. Thanks again for your email. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll jump on the phones. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. Let's go to the phones. Lee Joe, thanks for calling. Lee Joe, are you there?
Hey.
Hey there.
I still got background music.
Ah. You still do?
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear us?
There you are.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
That one I can't fix. I don't know. Everything looks good on our end.
All right. It's all better now.
Good.
So you were asking how these people can justify this billionaire's tax or any of the other taxes for social spending.
Mm-hmm.
It only requires the violation of one commandment: thou shalt not covet. Mm-hmm. And if you're godless and that's your whole deal is to covet what your neighbor has, then sure, you're entitled to everything they have. That's how it works. So on that note, I know you're always an optimist about the stock market and how it's going to hold on and hold on and hold on. And I'm a lot more pessimistic as we continue on into this inflationary cycle. What is the standard correction for massive inflation when I'm looking at grocery store prices, mm-hmm. 5-10% above what they used to be, and gas at 40 above, and mm-hmm. real estate at 80% above or better. You know, how do those two correlate in the end? How does that inflation and that massive money supply affect your precious 401k?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, you're absolutely right. I think the comparison is the thief of joy. It is. And it ruins everything in people's lives. And it does create a terrible, terrible political environment. And that's what we're seeing, right? It seems to play in some parts that, if you will, equality of opportunity is not important at all. It's the equality of outcome. And that will never work. But it seems to work in politics to put people who are smarter than the markets or people collectively, however you want to phrase it, we can dictate better because we're smarter. Just give us the power and I'll show you. And that isn't good. And it makes for a very nasty environment and a feeling like our, if you will, and I'm going to get to your economic question, but I think this is where we all feel this way because we feel like our freedoms are taken away, that there is no justice in the press, that one side, if it happens here, if there's sexual innuendos for Republicans, they have to go to jail now, and you have to believe them. Where if, on the other hand, if it's not, if it's somebody who's, you know, who proclaims to be for women's rights, then there is no justice. And that doesn't feel fair. And it makes us feel like the system is broke. I agree with that. But let me say this. I don't know what the market's going to go or do, excuse me, over the next year or the week or the month. And when we're talking about inflation and all these other things, it's one of the things I want to talk about right here. Because, and this goes back to a call earlier from Jim. The main benefit of technology is that it's anti-inflation. So it's not just because genetics are amazing. It's also because we can now do a teledoc for a fraction of the cost of having doctors available all over the place. They can be available by Zoom. We're getting used to that, and it's going to help bend the cost curve. Artificial intelligence in medicine is going to help bend the cost curve. We can produce food. We do have supply chain issues at a much lower cost than ever. The idea that we could go forth, and Lee Joe, you know I've talked about this a lot with Kevin on this program, everywhere. You can't go out and expect to have no inflation or just transitory inflation when you raise the money supply by 26%. That's an experiment. In 1 year, that's what we did. 1 year. We've never done that before. But it isn't going to lead to hyperinflation, I don't think. Now, I don't have to be dead right because there'll be plenty of time to make adjustments to that. But here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to sit on cash in a 5% inflation environment. I'm losing 5% a year. That's not an investment strategy. That's fear taking over my whole thought process. I would rather own the company that can raise the store, the prices in the store, all the time to keep up with inflation, which means they'll be earning more money, than the company that borrows, right? I don't want to lend them money. That's a fixed rate. And therefore, I really am susceptible. So we have to kind of think about that. What happens in an inflationary environment to stocks? They do okay. Hyperinflation, like the 1970s, they didn't do well. And bonds were horrible. Cash was awful until they finally, the interest rates caught up. And then interest rates started back down. But you see my point is that there just aren't any great alternatives when you have high inflation. And I'm not always optimistic on the market. I don't think the market's cheap right now. But I think it's the only choice you can make. I don't want money in anything else. And that's really the point I'm trying to make. Inflation is not hitting us because technology makes every single thing, from food to healthcare, cheaper. Go ahead.
That goes to that next. My next question, or part of that question, then would be: you've seen Janet Yellen. The Federal Reserve has no desire to raise interest rates, and if that is the counterinflationary move, what happens when the counterinflationary move doesn't happen?
Well, that's a fair point, but I don't. But I do see. Number one, I don't think Janet Yellen. They are finally admitting that some of this inflation is not transitory, okay? But some of it is. Some of it is. Some of the supply chain issues, they're going to go away. Some of the things, they will go away. It'll take time, but it's going to go away. I mean, it's like we sat around and panicked because the Suez Canal was blocked by a ship. And we didn't know how they'd ever get it all out of there. What are they talking about? We fly rockets into space. We can figure out how to get a ship moved. And they did. And then traffic began again. This is going to happen. And the more the governments get out of the way and let the markets take care of it. And why? Why is it going to get out of the way? Because there's a lot of money to be made by getting goods to the place where people want it. And we will catch up. But it will take time. We flipped the switch. We destroyed the economy of the world and the supply chains of the world. We destroyed it. And they can't walk over and flick a switch and it automatically works again. That's why government control never works. That's what actually bureaucrats think. They think they can make it happen. If we flick the switch back on, it'll happen. We're learning it won't. But anyway, Joe, go ahead. Finish your thought, and we'll run into a break.
Destroying the labor market was the other thing they did, along with everything else.
Absolutely, I mean, they did. Yes,
we warned this in the beginning. You can't do this. And you know, Brad Little, everybody else, Donald Trump, their first idea was to run to communism as a method of taking care of the pandemic instead of letting the market figure it out and letting restaurants figure it out. And, you know, it was just, anyway, communism will not work, never works. The government is a failure with these the people we have in charge now. But anyway, thank you.
You got it, Lee Joe. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Have a good day. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Fox News is next. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, one thing I want to make really super clear. I think I do, but, you know, sometimes you think you're clear, and you're not as clear to everybody. I'm 100% sure that there will be corrections and multiple corrections all the days of my life, even severe ones called bear markets. But I'm equally convinced, and history says 100% of the time, that we will again come back to all-time highs. So when we talk about, you know, well, you know, it's as Kevin says and others, and Lee Joe kind of mentioned, you know, the precious 401ks and all that. It's like, well, yeah, they are precious because it's your money. It's your wealth. I don't want a pension controlled by the government. Then you got to work for the man all your life. You can't make personal choice. You can't ever leave. How many people did you know back in the day that were like just hanging on to their crummy, horrible government, stinking job? They hated it. Just sit around with a bunch of bureaucrats and their thumbs up their terriers, right? I mean, just nothing. Horrible. Nothing that made your life feel like you were really doing anything. And you hung on for a pension. And you worked for the factory for the pension. And then, and how is that termed? Oh, it's the death of the pension. It's just an awful thing. It's horrible. People don't have a pension anymore. I don't want a pension. I want my money. I want control of my life. That's what 401ks are. It's my money. And if something happens to me, it's my family's money. It doesn't just go away. Like Social Security and pensions. I don't want that. I want freedom. The average person has something like a dozen jobs in their life. You can't have that if you have a pension. But you can when your pension moves with you. That's freedom. That's creative freedom, right? It's why we're different. All these people said, I don't want to be stuck under this king and in this particular thing. I want to go find my own way. That's a special person. That's fearless to get on a boat, speaking a different language. Maybe you make it, maybe you don't. And you go all the way across. the ocean to an unknown job. No benefits. That's our DNA. Now, of course, we live fat, sassy. Oh, my gosh, we have everything. It's just, it's ludicrous how much stuff we have. I know. I don't have as much as Elon Musk. If I can't fly private, my private jet, I think we need to take his away. I think my life is terrible. I mean, this is this comparison thing. It's just, it's terrible. It's terrible. We know it's terrible. Let's take a call. Terry, how are you today?
Oh, good morning, Professor. Since when does anybody promise me fair?
I don't know. You know, you're not as handsome or pretty or whatever. It just goes starts right there.
Well, that's Erica's job to make me rich and good looking, and I don't think she's doing such a good job at the first part.
Really? All right.
We're just staying even, but that's the, what can you do in trying times?
There you go.
It's called accept responsibility. I have the responsibility for me, darn it, and I hate that kind of pressure.
Yeah, I know. It is a lot of pressure. I know. But, you know, we think about it. When we just twist it on its head, it's just one of those things. People arguing about the death of pension. What are they arguing about? The death of freedom? That's what they want?
I'm getting paid not to go to work. I think a pension is a pretty good thing.
I get
so. And again, that's my affable idiot self sticking his head up there. So, yeah. But the part of this deal they're going through, it comes back to governments not doing their job. When we put the bureaucrats in and we get the clowns, and I'm leaving the first part of that off.
Yeah.
They used to have a budget for each of the 13 federal departments done by 30 September.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're doing it all in a conglomeration, massive bill, and sliding all sorts of unassociated things into it. No, if they would just sit back and do their, and I'm censoring myself, their blankety-blank job.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so much simpler, and there would be so much less obfuscation of it all. I'm looking at the notification for the sewer bond that they want to do. Nice little two-line thing that if you vote yes, it'll go up, and in 2030 or so, it'll go over what we're going to pay anyway. Well, when did these people forget how to plan and to budget with what they've got?
Mm-hmm.
And then make developers or whoever pay for what they're adding to the system. Again, I'm ignorant. I admit that. I just don't understand some anymore.
No, I hear you, Terry. You're absolutely right. Where, you know, either way, you're going to pay more. So vote for this. It's like, what kind of option is that? How about you guys think it through, and you set it up so it works? Like you said, it's the same thing. We've got to have more schools. Well, didn't think the population would grow? You didn't think with making up numbers, of course, there's 10,000 sixth graders that one day they would be going on and be in the high schools? No, we don't think that way. No. We have to have trailers and stuff and panic and pull on our hair and act like this is just some really weird shift in the planetary system here to have created a shortage of schools.
Yep. When I give a man a guaranteed pay raise, he'll stop working hard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway, I appreciate your comments, Terry.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll see you next week.
You have a great rest of the day. All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
G'day.
And we have got to take a quick break here. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. If you have to get a hold of us during the week, great. Just absolutely love to hear from you. It's petzofinancial.com. You can also link up and get our podcasts there of the show if you miss it and want to catch it. It's also at the Apple Store and all that good stuff, too. And check out our YouTube channel. We're getting better at it, and we're just not darn bad at it anyway. It's just something we've done for a while, And we're going to get better and better at it. So I hope you will check that out as well. A good one coming up this week. So you might look into that later in this later on this week. Maybe it won't be good, but I think it's going to be great. I've seen the outline of what we're trying to do, and I'm excited about it. Always excited to think about great long-term wisdom. Okay, a final thought before we take our final call of the day here. Earlier we were talking about, you know, inflation and coming and all those things and how we're all fearful of it. It's fair. It's a fair point. Inflation's real. We're doing things we really shouldn't be doing. We're throwing money at non-productive things like people that won't work, right? And the government wants to throw more trillions of dollars on an already lit fire. It makes no sense. It is inflationary. So what do we do? Okay? I mean, are we looking at hyperinflation? If you read long enough, you go dark enough on the web, you're going to find it. You're going to find it absolutely and consistently. You know, should we put it into an equity indexed annuity and earn 2% when inflation's at 5%? Does that seem smart to you? I think I'd rather buy a treasury. I could go ahead and sell it and lose money anytime between now and the next 10 years. You can't do that with an annuity. Makes no sense. So we think about that. What about gold? We should buy gold because that's what we're told, right? We need to buy gold. But how's gold doing? It's down 5%. And we all know inflation's here. It's here. It's 5% trailing. Why doesn't gold do it? Because it doesn't always do that. And that's important. What about commodities? Not always. Right now, commodities have done pretty good against inflation. Pretty good. So's the market, by the way. But have they always? No. No, not at all. Not at all. Bitcoin. No. God, it's so volatile. I don't know if it's a hedge. Nobody knows what it is. We don't. As far as fitting into a portfolio, is it a hedge? Does it work with the market? Nobody knows. It's just wild and crazy. So you can't even look at that. What about tips? You're going to earn nothing on tips. So you got to hope for a lot of inflation to earn anything. Tips are Treasury inflation-protected securities. There isn't anything. Well, you got to go with value stocks, not growth stocks, and so on and so forth. No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Relax. Inflation's bad. I get it. But the more you read about it and find out that the money supply is up 26% in the last 12 months, and that's unbelievable, it'll just frighten you. And you'll make bad decisions, worse decisions than you're already making. Because if you're out there looking at it and looking for it, I already know what your portfolio looks like. It's sitting in cash, and every day you wake up and you're losing to inflation and you're wondering why the market's at all-time highs and you're cussing it and you have a ton of pressure on yourself. You do. It's a very pressure-ridden thing when you're not doing the right thing. And it happens year after year after year after year. I hate the market. Because the market just keeps rolling because companies, people, markets, they're creative, innovative. It's called creative destruction, and it works. And it always has. Chill out. We need to chill out. Look, we're going to have a correction. I know it. We always do. On our way to all-time highs. Pro-life. We got about a minute left. Bring us home.
Okay. You know, you're talking about everything staying kind of organized, but the Biden administration, their intent is to keep things in chaos and make it worse, in my estimation. The money that they're flooding into the economy, that's intentional. They want to have a economy that's totally out of control, so then they can have a wage price supply mandates. And then if they can get us out of control enough, then maybe they can call off the elections. They want to stay in power, and they will do anything to do that. So I don't know how that affects economics. And I hope I'm not right, but they are total crooks, and they will do anything to stay in power. So how that affects your personal economics, you have to deal with that, in my estimation. So that's about all I got to say. You can make a comment here at the end, but
I can't, because guess what? You get the last word. We're going to call it a day. Have a great weekend,
right,
Everybody. Thank you.